Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Abarca.
Eduardo's back.
Andy Lipson. And I am back from mostly I was in France and I did visit Spain to be with some friends. So yes, I am back. And thank you for welcoming me back.
We're all happy to have you back. Kenny is awesome.
Thank you, Kenny, as well. I wanted to really, really show my appreciation for Kenny Cepeda, who has been stepping in for me. Mm-hmm. And I expect he will be stepping in for us in the future more.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's going to be almost a three-person rotation. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely good to have you back. I think the people want you back, Eduardo. The people want you here. I'm not good enough for them. They need Eduardo. So it's definitely not the same. Well, it's just good to have you back.
There's a feud between us that they want to witness.
Right. I'm kidding. I told you I had a surprise for you.
As he reveals he's in his PJs. Yeah. Professionalism.
Oh. Merry Christmas. Because Eduardo celebrates Christmas because he's Jehovah's Witness.
Former
Jehovah's Witness. So he loves the holidays, and I had to get you a Christmas present.
Oh, thank you, Andy. I appreciate it.
Look at this wrapping, folks.
I feel so terrible because for years, and I will say this another time, but I mean go into depth of another time, but for years I've always missed out on friends' birthdays and Christmas and everything else.
You have an excuse. We don't have an excuse. You have an excuse. But we're going to bring you over to the world of a holiday.
So thank you very much. Should I open it here?
Yeah, because I think it was, I thought when I got you the gift, I thought about conversations we'd had on this show.
All right, so I will open it here.
Yeah.
All right, let's for our listeners, this is a green. This is what I always do. Try to.
You want to see this? Watch the video. Otherwise, you're going to have to deal with it.
This is a green gift wrap that is squarish with beautiful designs and given to me by Andy as I'm trying to describe for our audio.
But it's upside down, so you got to see it this way.
This is only if people have been following us. This is so great. I don't have one. I played with these for a long time. For our audio, our listeners, this is the game of Uno.
The analogy you use to describe
for identity politics.
Yeah. So I figured I would get
this
it for
so great.
So you could practice your identity politics.
I'll plug in the episode. Make sure to include it in the description.
There you go. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Sure, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Welcome
and Happy
back.
New Year to everyone.
Yes.
I
2020.
Really appreciate it. Yes, we are in 2020 and we haven't even done our 2020 predictions.
No, no.
Maybe we will.
I predict I will need to get glasses, which I already have.
Thank you, Andy, for this. And again, I want people to visit our episode on identity politics and you will see why Andy has given me this.
And why that's so funny.
I want to explain it. I'm tempted to, but you have to see the episode. You have to go see
it. It's not worth explaining.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
And thank you, Brandy, as well, for always being in the spirit with Andy.
She wanted to thank you for sending those two postcards.
Oh.
Which he writes very small on the postcards. And because I definitely need glasses, Randy read the cards out loud to me.
No.
Because he wrote them to both me and Brandy.
Yeah, I tried to write them a little bit bigger this
year.
But still, I suppose they were too small.
For me, you know.
Yeah.
But in the year of 2020, which is not my vision. My vision is not 2020. So I have finally got my first set of reading glasses. No, regular prescription glasses.
You're nearsighted?
I'm farsighted.
You're farsighted.
Things are fuzzy when I get near me.
I see.
But it was a correction for both farsighted and a lot for nearsighted.
And nearsighted. I see.
You know, so it's progressive glasses.
I see. All right. Well.
But I consider myself a radical, not a progressive.
That's great.
Anyway.
This, the way Andy always finds a way to wordplay. That's so great. All right. So, yes, I have come back. Check out our episode where I had tuned in for a quick check-in, sharing my experience in Spain. Mm-hmm. I was there for more than a week, and I talked about my change, my perspective on my visits there. And we will also be talking about my French experience, but another time for now.
Yeah.
And for this topic, we will be discussing the feud between the Warren, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders feud that was had over the week in Iowa for the Democratic debate.
But it started with a CNN article. That's important to know.
Yes.
Because there's some fake news going on there too.
Right. So so that is what the topic is. I suppose you want to give some context. I mean,
yeah, maybe I'll give some of my context. You can give some of yours, and then we'll talk about what we think about all this.
Let me once again state that this is the feud where Elizabeth Warren or her staff has accused Bernie Sanders for sexism and using the woman card.
Well, yeah, specifically the accusation of sexism comes around saying that in a private meeting between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren in 2016, where they were discussing...
2018.
But I think the meeting happened in 2016. Was it 2018?
The meeting of them of...
that the meeting in which the accusation...
No,
which,
it happened in 2018.
Okay, okay. Yes. So then there was a meeting that they had in 2018?
The meeting they had, yes. Well, okay. Let me just start quickly. I know that you...
all right, go ahead.
That just say in you're talking about 2015 when there was an encouragement from people to have Elizabeth Warren run. It was run, Warren, run.
Right.
And it was for her to run for presidency. And okay. Bernie Sanders had met with her asking her if she was going to run. She declined she wasn't going to run for 2016.
Okay.
So then he decided to run for presidency.
And supposedly he encouraged her back then to run.
Yes.
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 So, okay, so this is a 2018 meeting, a private meeting between them.
Yes.
In which what's been alleged is that during that conversation, Bernie Sanders said to her, a woman cannot become president in the United States or something like that.
To the effect of.
Yes. And accusations.
Allegedly.
Yes. And that is where the claim of sexism is, because he's saying to a woman can't become president. And the allegation was put to CNN first, who essentially... Well, do you want to say anything? I have more to say about just that, because...
Well, yeah, her staff
was
the one who had...
And no one who was at the meeting.
Yeah.
Two people who said they heard it from Elizabeth Warren later, and then two people who said it from the people who said Elizabeth Warren said it to them. So we're talking about four anonymous witnesses, staff leakers, who basically are saying they all heard it second or third hand. This is put out by CNN as... fact, almost.
And Elizabeth Warren was silent at first. She didn't say anything at first. And it wasn't until later when she finally affirmed that, yes, it had been said.
Yeah.
And then it was brought up in the debate, on the debate stage.
Right, where a CNN person said to Bernie Sanders, did you say this? And he said, no. And then she turned to Elizabeth Warren and said, how do you feel about him saying this?
Yes.
And people literally laughed in the audience when she asked that question. And it's not humorous at that point. Yeah. It's just, to me, one of the things of this story is what a joke. And the accusations by Trump or anyone of CNN and mainstream media being fake is completely true. And this exposes, like, if there was any independent media that had done something like this, they would be talked about as being fraudulent and not credible. But this is mainstream news. They get to do it, and they get to act like they're credible for doing this kind of stuff. When really what it is these are political hits being taken out on different people, in my mind. So we'll say more.
Yeah, it was not, they weren't really asking Bernie Sanders. They were wanting to, I think, almost give fuel to this fire, because when you said they did turn, they weren't saying, oh, he denies it.
Correct.
They
how do you
said,
respond?
They said that, how did you feel about him saying this? They didn't, you know, they almost negated anything that Bernie Sanders had said at that
Correct.
Moment.
Right.
But I don't know if we're going to get into whether we believe this or not. I would like to.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I
go ahead.
I personally believe that Bernie Sanders does not really think that a woman cannot be a president. I think he said this in 1987 when he had said that he personally, in his view, sees women can be president. Mm-hmm. And he has even at first, as we had found out, that in 2015 had wanted Elizabeth to actually step on first if she was going to run for presidency,
yeah,
and not compete her.
Yeah.
I think what he was trying to say to her in this private 2018 meeting, which is only had between two people, mm-hmm, no one else was there, mm-hmm, was this, what I have said in our predictions, and one of them was in 2019, which, where I have even said that I don't think right now the country really wants to, there's so much identity politics right now that being a woman is going to be used as a target for Donald Trump to attack her and take her as someone that is weak, and so much sexism is going to be used in that campaign that I think that there's so much backlash against a black president and then now a woman running for president that it will be harder. I think the obstacles are there for a woman to run for presidency. And I think that is a similar sort of message that Bernie Sanders may have tried to say to Elizabeth Warren, that right now it may be too much of a fight with Donald Trump, that they have to beat him, whether we agree with any of this or not. We're just, yeah, trying to say that for them to win as a Democratic Party, they have to try to put in more of a stronger force, and he believes he has that force.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that may have been, this is not, obviously, this is my speculation. I want to state that this is my personal,
yeah,
speculation. That's what I think really happened.
I think that's a likely scenario. In some ways, I'm going to be speculating as well. Although this is what I believe, and in some ways, I think I have to clear up, because remember last episode I speculated.
Yeah.
You know what I speculated about last episode?
Go ahead, tell us.
That the plane that the Iranian plane that went down, or the Ukrainian plane that went down.
Uh-huh.
I said I think the United States shot that stuff down, and that has come. Well, that's not what happened. So that was speculation then, and I was wrong. And it's turned out the Iranians took it down. Maybe by accident, not sure. I do think it plays into a lot of the stuff that took place after that, but that's neither here nor there. I speculated last episode. I was wrong about that. But I'm going to speculate here again. So I don't know what happened in that discussion between the two privately. What I do know is what was delivered to the media was not, I don't believe that was a result of some misunderstanding. I don't think a year ago that Elizabeth Warren held her tongue and was like, oh, I can't believe that guy said. What I believe is either they're using a pretext or they're literally just making something completely up, like lying. Elizabeth Warren has been known to lie. Lied about her heritage, lied about what her job past was in relationship to pregnancy or something like that. And she's lied about a bunch of stuff. And she's a Democrat. So of course, she's a politician. She's a liar. So I believe she's lying. I don't think she's truthful. I think Bernie Sanders is, I got lots of problems with what Sanders is doing inside the Democratic Party, but I don't believe he would have said something like that. So I think she's lying. And I don't think what was leaked was a misunderstanding, but I also don't believe that what was done comes just from her. I believe that she is operating in conjunction with the Democratic National the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. Her campaign has been tanking. Her poll numbers are. There was a period where people were, hey, maybe she's going to do this. Then she started to fold on Medicare. Like she kind of changed her tack on that, and she started to go into the tank. And I think as she's falling, her whole role in this election has really been to basically shadow Bernie Sanders, mm-hmm, and pull votes from him. That's really the only reason she's there. And so she's falling out of favor. And so what I think she did, and I think she did this in conjunction with the DNC, was basically try to do a hit piece on him just before the Iowa caucus, mm-hmm. which is coming up, and just before these recent debates, because they also was that hot mic incident where she goes, you know, where, oh, you called me a liar. I think all that stuff is staged from her part. Now, Sanders has responded very weakly to all this. You know, he's like, you accuse me of being a liar. And he should have basically said, yes, you are a liar. I am accusing you of being a liar. I'm not a sexist, but you are a liar. And he's been like, I don't want to talk about this right now. He looked very weak, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's he's going to look weak because he is weak. And even if he gets elected.
I think it was being genuine.
He's genuinely weak, you know. I mean, he's being accused of being a sexist nationally, and he can't even have an honest response to it. So anyway, but I will say this. I believe Bernie Sanders is not a victim here, but he is being victimized. He's being beaten up by the Democratic Party again. Mm. But like a person who's experiencing abuse in a relationship and doesn't know how to get out, he's going to stay in that relationship because at the end of the day, he feels he has something to gain from it. We'll talk about that later. But neither here nor there. I believe this is that she was sent in like a heat-seeking missile to go trying to shoot him down. The irony of this is it's had the opposite effect. He actually has raised in the polls as a result of this. He's actually looking much even stronger in Iowa. He's raised on a national poll. His poll numbers in Iowa have gone up, and Warren has gone down because I think people see through this. But it's very much the last bastion of identity politics usage. That's what's going on here for Warren to either sink Sanders or raise herself. But I don't think she just did this on her own. I think she did this in conjunction with the DNC, with the people who basically want to make sure that they get an establishment candidate out of this. And that's her role there.
No, there are some differences in how this, your speculation. Yeah. I think that for me, I truly do believe the timing of this is very suspicious. I think that it wasn't something that what she had planned to do, because if she had stayed silent, there was, you know, a period of time for reflection for her to know what is my next move here. Because if it was indeed false, or she knew what he had meant to say, she would have spoken sooner, or she would have later decided, you know, this is not something, because they had a pact between them when they were going to go into this race that they would not do any personal attacks on each other. They remember this. They both, I looked at a lot of them, their campaigns were really trying to make sure that the pact was that they would not go after each other personally on personal attacks, only on policies. That was what Bernie Sanders always tries to do, by the way. He did this with Hillary Clinton as well. His campaign met with her campaign and said, look, we're not going to go on the offense with you. We're not even trying to go on the defense. We're simply trying to talk about the policies here. I'm not trying to do this whole media spectacle in front of people. And Hillary Clinton said, all right, we're going to do this as well. But then eventually they didn't, because I think she striked first. She realized she needed to eventually. But I think it's the same thing out here now. Eventually, like Hillary Clinton was seeing that his popularity is strong, that Elizabeth seeing that mm-hmm. his poll numbers are rising. Mm-hmm. You're right. I don't know if the DNC is that... you describe it as almost like it's a missile going after
I'm describing it conspiratorially. Like,
yes.
That is, there's a discussion having happened at the upper echelons of the Democratic Party, because the reason I don't believe that pact is a lie,
yeah.
not that it wasn't made, but Bernie Sanders, again, he's either a fool or just an accomplice in this yes. idiocy. He knows that the reason Warren's running is to take him out, is to keep him out. So how could they have a pact? He knows that. He knows she's there. She shadowed all his positions. And the minute
he did have a pact, though.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But that pact only is put on the version of Bernie Sanders not going after her.
Yeah.
Because clearly they didn't have a pact. Because the minute it doesn't serve, the minute the Democratic Party needed that person, Elizabeth Warren, to take him down. Because that's not what they're worried about. They're worried about Bernie Sanders going over Biden or Buttigieg or whoever their establishment person. They're not worried about him beating Warren. So that pact obviously had no meaning for the Democratic Party.
But I think that even just before, prior to this debate, there was some time recently where even Hillary Clinton was acknowledging that he might just be the next candidate as for the Democratic Party. The establishment was sort of seeing that, I remember this in the news, that they were beginning to see him as the possible candidate that should probably lead because he seemed the most cleanest. He's rising before Buttigieg. And Joe Biden is coming a little dirty with the Ukrainian scandal.
There is no one in the mainstream Democratic Party is talking about saying, "Oh, we have to make peace with the idea that somebody who says they're a socialist, they are saying like, look, if Bernie wins, then if Bernie wins the primary, they're saying all our candidates in the House and all our candidates in the Senate are going down."
Well, I'll post something about what I had read, and maybe, I mean, I suppose maybe not everyone is saying this, no?
Yeah.
But there is a slight, there is a less hostility, I think, less hostility than last race around towards Bernie Sanders. I think they realize now they have to take him seriously. It's not their favorite. No, I
don't agree with that.
I agree.
Because we're going to talk about in the second part of this. Right. I want to talk about how Bernie Sanders is actually doing the Democratic Party a favor. He's not actually a threat to them, but for the establishment is just as hostile to what they perceive as it's all they want. The Democratic Party want is the left wing to collect the vote. They don't want them there to actually put forward candidates that they have speak to.
More to the left of positions their positions.
That may expose them as a deeper lie. Like the Democratic Party exists to basically lie to the working class about being a party that's potentially for them while it's always for the rich and for the capitalists. So their game has always been, how do we sell that lie? And Bernie Sanders helps refurbish up that lie, kind of clean that lie up and make it look nice. Look, there's this left guy who can always, Dennis Kucinich, Bernie Sanders, you can always have that, Jesse Jackson. There's always a possibility of your interests coming through in our party. But they never want those people to actually emerge because it then puts them a little bit more on the hook for doing stuff. And well, then, as you see, it does like what it does for the Social Democrats when they take power in Spain or when they take power in Mexico or when they take power in Brazil. It puts them on the hook to deliver. They don't. They can't and they won't. And then you have the accompanying response by the working class in those countries. So this is what's being sold here by the Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders is doing them a favor in helping them sell that to us. But at the same time, the establishment, the actual people who run that party, because it's not run by workers, it's run in the interest of the capitalist class, they have to make sure that their candidates work primarily, almost exclusively for them. And they can't have any of these fake candidates, these fraudulent candidates who are never supposed to be there, but they're only there for window dressing, ever have the chance to be put up there. Because if Bernie Sanders does win, the ruling class will have to speak decisively to make sure that Trump wins.
Yeah,
Trump's going to win either way, but then they have no choice. There's not really an option for the capitalist class then.
Where I do agree with you is that the timing is very suspicious. I mean, even Elizabeth Warren going up to Bernie Sanders right after the debate, because at first she just sort of tried to carry on right after he had said, "I did not say this," and she said, "Well, Bernie is my friend."
Yeah.
Right. So she didn't try to say in front of everyone at that moment during the debate that he is lying or he is denying that he had said this.
Yeah.
But afterwards, I did feel that she's smart enough to know that because she's a public figure, that the cameras are always rolling.
Right.
The mics are always rolling.
Right. Exactly.
Why would you then go up to him and not refuse to shake his hand and say, "You just called me a liar in front of national television"?
Right.
That is something that I just felt a little bit...
She wasn't talking to him. She was talking to the national audience.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's the one thing I did feel. She's smart enough to know.
Yes.
You won't have a discussion like... And even he was like, "What are you doing?" Like, I mean, he didn't say those words, but he looked at her a little bit shocked. Like,
I don't want to get into this right now.
This is not the moment for this. You know, he's like,
which is weak. This is the moment for this. He said, what do you mean? Yes, I am. Of course I'm calling you a liar. You're calling me a sexist, and you're a liar to do that, because I never said that. And he should have hot mic'd that stuff right back. And he's saying, instead, what he looks like, he looks guilty to me.
He's civil.
He's not civil. He's weak. Look, if you're going to fight for these ideas, yeah, who do you what do you think they're fighting here? If we're taking on the... If we even believe for a second that Bernie Sanders is this thing that he says he is. Like, just... And he isn't. He's a fraud. But then... If he can't take on Elizabeth Warren at that moment, do you think he can take on, you know, the capitalists in this country? No, there's no way. He's not, please,
but
not,
I think
it's
because
not
he
civility.
Sees her as a friend, that's...
But then he's an idiot, because she's not a friend. He can't, how can I sit here and know that she's in that, that she's on in that race? And I'm not sitting in these boardrooms, but the only reason she's in the race is to eliminate him. He knows that. That's like, and that's part of that discussion in 2018. Why it has maybe a different character of like, what are we doing here? Yeah. But I don't know what he thinks is coming out of that. She's going to take him down. Now, of course, they give friendly talk, but it's very difficult for me to believe that he's that stupid. If he is that stupid, he's not just weak, but he's that stupid.
I don't think he's that stupid. I think he's civil.
Civil
wants to wash his dirty laundry in front of everyone.
But then he looks weak, and he's fighting these people. Yeah. Of course he wants to do it in front of everyone. He has to show other workers we're fighting these people. Isn't that what he's supposed to be about? This isn't about me. This isn't about Bernie Sanders. This is about me showing it's about you. So here's how you do it. You take them on and you don't let them you don't back down in the face of their lies. So instead, as a leader, as a working class leader, if that's what he's being here,
yeah,
he's teaching the working class to be civil to the capitalists. Is that what we should do? Because if you're civil to the capitalists, they're taking your kneecaps off. So I will say that the only thing I for a fact know is that this man is incapable of leading the working class. But that's not his intention.
Yeah.
That's not his intention. He is intending to lead the working class into the capitalist party. And he's doing an amazing job of that. And that's the part that is so tragic about this, is that I will defend, not Sanders, I'm going to basically talk about what this shows to me is the criminality of the mainstream media. It shows the criminality and gangster nature of the Democratic Party, because Warren isn't a Democratic operative sent to scuttle this fool called Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders is
maybe
kind
she's
of
been influenced by her campaign manager.
Whatever, but all those people are at the top, right? These are all people who are connected to wealth and money,
yeah,
right? So then, and ironically, it's had the effect of actually activating people to support Sanders and leave Warren. That's actually a good thing. It's sad that it's going to be captured by this so-called socialist who has as much fight in him as my fingernail. You know, he has no fight in him. He's never willing to fight and stand up against these people. So, but that's not my biggest issue, actually. My biggest issue is the tragedy of the fact that this man and this socialist and the Democratic Socialists of America are driving the entire working class into the Democratic Party again and making it seem like there's something for us to win there. But ironically, in terms of numbers, at this point, he does look like the favorite to win the primary right now.
I would say so. I think that Joe Biden is too, he's got his hands dirty with his whole Hunter Biden thing. I think that is one of the reasons why he is, one, being attacked, right? And secondly, maybe by some, as I had said, by some of the establishment are starting to maybe admit that this is maybe their only chance with Bernie Sanders. I hesitate to say that it's by the DNC and the establishment that are trying to, maybe it's the campaign manager is trying to sway Elizabeth, and she has the people around her that are definitely persuading her to this way. But I do know, and I think that genuinely they are friends. You are so...
Come on, dude. You can't say that.
They
seriously
are friends.
Oh my God.
They're professional colleagues that have worked together for a long time. They have respect for each other.
Okay, are you and I friends?
Yes.
Are we those kind of friends?
No.
Okay, thank God. That's all that matters. As long as that word you're using on them is not the same thing you would talk about us.
I think that
is not friendship, dude. What's up there is a show. That is a show of friendship. Like, now we could have a show of friendship here. Like, I gave you a present on the thing. Oh, look what I'm doing. I'm about to cut this guy's knees caps off during the episode. But that is all political theater, dude. That's for consumption.
It is, Andy. It is.
And they say that to hide the fact that the Democratic Party has no interest in anything that's going to help the working class.
I'm not saying they're friends like what you and I, like you and I are friends. I'm talking about that they are allies. Maybe I should have said a correction. They are allies and they don't see each other. They have a lot of the same. Even before the whole Bernie Sanders in 2016 fame got quite long and the national attention, they have had very similar policies in the past. Maybe there are differences for sure, but they have pretty much stand by some of the same, going after big banks and stuff.
Now, that's the big difference for Warren. She was Republican at once.
Yes, she was. But even when she, under the Obama administration, she went after mega banks.
She's moved left.
Yes. Yeah. So all I'm saying is they're not to my standard of what I wish I would look for in a candidate. But for the people who are progressives under the Democratic wing, they definitely have very common interests. And I think that is what I'm trying to say, that they are allies and that they're not going to go after each other the way that they would go after, for example, a Republican.
Well, then what's happened? Then how do you explain what's happening now? I actually do believe in this regard. The friends, no. Allies, yes. That's what exposes... And for Warren, of course, she's right to ally herself with the far left. That's what you would do to build your own credibility. She's playing the role she knows. She's staying in her lane within the Democratic Party. For Bernie Sanders to build allies with people like Warren exposes that he has nothing to offer us as workers. That exposes that what he's doing has nothing to do with socialism. Because if he's allying herself with people like that, not that she's a liar, but she's a party apparatchik, right? She's like a party operative. Then what he's doing is... I mean, in that regard, I agree with you, because that is what shows the foolhardiness and the complete bankruptcy of the Bernie Sanders DSA strategy, is to ally themselves with these fake leftists, and by extension, they expose themselves as fake leftists when they do it, because there's nothing in it other than to fool workers, and that really is what's so damaging about Bernie Sanders' candidacy, is they're really... is a desire to hear somebody who's actually anti-war, which he isn't. There is a real person who is for actual socialism and against capitalism, which he isn't. He's not that. He's the opposite of that, because he's trying to save the Democratic Party. He's trying to save capitalism. He's trying to bring people back. In fact, in November, when a person posed the question to him, you know, Barack Obama says we don't need a revolution. Are you going to contradict him? You know, you know what Bernie Sanders said? He said, "No, I agree with Barack Obama. We don't have to have a revolution of this system. We don't have to fully change it. We can make these slow changes here." And that is a person who is completely unprincipled. So he's going to say anything. So that's not the kind of leadership that the working class needs to fight for its goals. And I just think, well, I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I wanted to touch base as well on how Elizabeth Warren was using the identity politics card, and I mean, referring to this UNO thing. it is something that has become the playbook. One of the things in their playbook now is to use the identity politics card, where it's because she is a woman and therefore she may not be able to win the presidency, and that is something she's trying to, as a strategy in this, and I think that they're going to screw themselves this way, because if you're really trying to, and we have discussed this ourselves, organize, and you're trying to create a movement to bring the working class together, which I think that they are trying to, the middle class, they say
Democrats. You think the Democrats are trying to bring the working class together?
No, okay. Not the way that you and I think of it, or maybe the way that you may think of it differently.
But they're trying to
bring their politics in a capitalist paradigm.
Yes.
Trying to have more socialist programs, for example. Not socialist programs, social programs for, like, single payer health insurance, healthcare, or even just like even Yang was talking about the universal income. These are not socialist ideas. They may have been derived, maybe and modified, but they are not socialist ideas. I want to acknowledge, and yes, there is a difference between working class organization between. So, but I'm just talking about how different the Republicans and Democrats think, whereas more of let's say lesser government and bigger government democratic establishment thinking. If they are trying to organize, they in this way, their playbook on using the identity politics card is only further going to divide them. Correct. Is what I want to get at. Yes. So,
and divide workers.
Yes, and it is still creating more hostilities within society because we are dividing people into categories, thinking that these people have more advantages or disadvantages, which racism and sexism, as I want to reiterate, and I want to state, don't deny it, it exists.
Yes.
It does exist.
Institutionally, not just in people's heads, right?
Yes, yes, yes. So
it's in people's heads, but it's also an institutional part of our system.
Yes, so I don't want to confuse our new listeners or new viewers, if we have any, or even if we have people who have not listened to this identity politics episode. I don't want to make sure that it's not that we are denying that these things exist. Oppression does exist. What I'm saying is, though, is that when we are, and please visit this episode on identity politics, and then you also get the reference for the Uno thing that Andy, I appreciated the gift. And so this whole playbook, even Bill Maher was saying on his show, where if you use that, the woman card, you're just further going to divide the Democratic Party, the what if left. That's why people are shifting over, because Donald Trump is saying, enough with this, we're not going to be playing by being PC or too careful around people's identities. I don't know if you want to speak to any of that. I have more to say, but I wanted to give you a chance, because I think that is one issue that is on the forefront, especially these past few years.
Well, I don't believe Bill Maher is interested in fighting sexism. I don't think he cares about that. So I'm skeptical that what he's saying is the same thing that I'm saying when I critique identity politics.
Yeah, it's different.
Because what I would say is, because I do think it's important for people to speak up if they experience oppression and something that's unfair. And I believe specifically women do experience that. That's what we're talking about. Women do experience more oppression and more unfairness under capitalism. It's institutionally baked in because it's a class-divided system. Similarly with racism and racism against Black people, against Latino people, against immigrants, against Muslims, all those things, they aren't just here. We're not just acknowledging them. These things are built into the apparatus of the system that both of us don't like here, capitalism, and they're fundamental to making sure capitalism runs the way it does. So women speaking out, or anyone, but women speaking out about their experience of sexism, great, it's awesome. I mean, that's we want more of that. But that's not what Elizabeth Warren's doing here.
That's what
Elizabeth Warren is cynically using the existence of something like sexism and the Me Too movement that had problems, but of course, at least with the idea of women speaking up and saying what they have experienced, and men if they've experienced sexual abuse as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important part of the thing, because there's a many men who've experienced sexual abuse and actually I would want and would hope the Me Too movement would want to invite them into such a thing and not see it as just a movement for women. Again, that's my vision. You know, I can't claim it, or I can't say that that's what I think the movement's about. But I think that's where it needs to go. Elizabeth Warren is cynically using that to essentially try to do a political takedown on a political opponent, not an ally, a political opponent. She calls him an ally. Bernie Sanders thinks of her as an ally. That's because he's either an idiot or he's actually totally in on the game. I actually think he's more dumb, because I just see him always responding so weak. So they're taking this guy and using him like a person who doesn't know anything. And I just feel like he's being used by the Democratic Party. And it's unfortunate that so many socialists who are fighters are seeing this guy as the person who's going to be some way
leading
the way, even halfway or partway or quarter way or an eighth way. He's not. He's literally leading us into a trap. I don't know if he knows that. I don't know. He's certainly very rich. But it doesn't matter. We are the ones who need to know better when we see how this guy gets played constantly and how he responds to being played constantly. He keeps basically getting slapped around by this capitalist party, and he keeps staying within it instead of fighting outside of it. And so I think you spoke to so one of the things he does is he basically refurbishes and rebuilds this political movement, this kind of Democratic Party left that's coming in, which is just built around identity politics, which is divisive to workers. But the other thing he's doing by encouraging us to stay with the Democratic Party is he's literally blurring over the lines between the working class and the capitalist class. He's basically making it so we don't really know where that difference. Maybe there isn't a difference. Maybe this capitalist party can be for workers, and that's something that socialists can't do, because that's it's so damaging to our cause. Like in my school, most people think that their best ally for getting things done is the principal, not the custodian. Is the principal, not the paraprofessional who works with them. They don't see their most important ally as the paraprofessional in their classroom, or the custodian who cleans or the cafeteria worker, or the person the garbage person who comes by and cleans. They don't see that as their most important ally in their future. The person in my school who most people will say is their most important ally is their principal. Well, that's crossing right across class lines. And that confusion is the confusion that is built baked deep into the working class here. And socialists are helping sustain that confusion and building that confusion by encouraging people like working people to fight to reclaim the Democratic Party through people like the Bernie Sanders. How do you reclaim capitalism for yourself? You cannot. You cannot reclaim a capitalist party that is built on screwing you over and turning into something you want. You can't make the capitalist party the Democratic Party that way. You can't make the capitalist state that way. And any confusion we have, it's understandable workers have confusion around that, because the capitalists try to build that confusion into us. That's partly why the Democratic Party even exists. It's a tragedy that socialists are helping sustain that confusion and are actually feeding that confusion, because that confusion is one of the reasons why we are so weak, why workers are so weak, is because we don't see ourselves as our own class for our own interests. And it also happens, in this case, to be building instead a political movement which is built along gender identity lines within our movement that needs to be working class. So it's a double barrel ideological shot to us, in my mind. And this is why I think they want to take down the Democratic Party establishment wants to take down Bernie Sanders, but they need Bernie Sanders to be within it. And they trust that they know they can treat him as crappy as they want and he'll stay there. I'm not entirely sure how they know that. I don't know if there's deals made, but I know he's rich. Maybe they got something on him. I don't know. I don't know. Or maybe they just know they've already assessed how dumb he is. But it's a tragedy that the rest of us are going in that direction and thinking there's something there.
Yeah, I think there are many who actually socialists who do have faith in Bernie Sanders. And so I think that there is this confusion. I agree with you. I think that this is what I even myself, I'll just admit that it's causing me some confusion. And I would like to address that maybe another time. But this is the moment where we have now seen some transparency with how things are going to play out, because we're left with a few candidates now. So if we're going to see true colors, as you're seeing that now the attacks are, whether Bernie Sanders is strong enough or not, I think that this is when we are going to finally see that.
Yes.
There are now, what, 6 candidates?
Yeah.
From like 20?
And I agree with you that we're going to, because I think you said that the establishment might have, you're almost saying they've digested the possibility of a Bernie Sanders victory in the primaries.
I think.
And I don't believe that's the case, but I'm like, you're speculating, I'm speculating there. I do think we're going to see that play out one way or the other, because I don't think I think they're going to find some way of making sure that they have not Bernie Sanders there at the top. And I say
they did it before, right?
Right. And I say that fundamentally believing that Bernie Sanders is doing the Democratic Party a favor by running. Because he continues, like, if anything was going to make the Democratic Party seem like a hopeless cause, it was Barack Obama's hope in 2008 that turned into disgust by 2012 and 2016. Bernie Sanders, it's like that never happened. Bernie Sanders has literally reconstructed and re-galvanized the left to go back in and try to do another hope and change thing.
Yeah.
And it's like we get to walk through this whole show again. And even if Bernie Sanders gets elected and doesn't do it, and he's going to do all the things that we see that the socialists do when they get elected in these capitalist countries, they screw workers over and they say they have to, then the people are saying, oh, then some socialists say, oh, then people are going to make the break. Then they're going to make the break. No, it doesn't work that way. They're not going to make the break to other socialists. They're going to make the break to the right, first of all. And secondly, the people who don't break to the right are going to say, oh, he's not a good enough socialist. Maybe we'll try a more principled socialist to do it. It doesn't work this way, folks. We have to build the thing we're fighting for. The best thing that could happen, I mean, the only thing that would make Bernie Sanders even remotely credible is him getting out of the Democratic Party and running an independent. And that's the thing that no one wants to say he can do because, oh, he's not legitimate anymore. Well, that's the fight, though. We have to, the fight is to make that independent thing legitimate. That is the political fight before us. This thing that it's trying, all it's doing is legitimizing the Democratic Party. It's not legitimizing the struggle for working class liberation and independence.
Yes, this is where I do agree with you. And that is why I agree and I want to also just clarify one thing. I don't want any of our viewers or listeners to be left with thinking that we don't think that there isn't any obstacles for a woman to run as a candidate. There are certainly obstacles. There's certainly sexism. I'm reiterating this because in some of our other episodes, some people have taken away other sort of conclusions from what we have said. I know that Andy doesn't care so much about that. Sometimes he's like, well, they need to stop reading between, they need to hear what we're saying, and I thought we were clear. I want to reiterate and say that no, we acknowledge that there are definitely obstacles for women to run as candidates. There are institutional sexism that exists, but this, in this moment, this was a strategy to take down an opponent, to try to go up in the polls because it's hurt.
And use actual sexism in an unprincipled
that's what
way.
I'm trying to say
say it. That makes the cause weaker for fighting for women's liberation.
That's exactly my point. So, thank you, Andy, for that. So, sure. I just want to clarify for that. And we will see what will look like now for the next the caucus that is coming up for Iowa because
vote Bernie.
Being sarcastic,
but it'll be funny. We will learn a lot about what's going on by seeing how this all plays out. Because Bernie Sanders, I mean, Greg did say, "Hey, this guy has a chance," and I was like, "I don't think he does." But Greg told me this guy has a chance, and I look and I see that if you look at poll numbers,
he won in Iowa caucus last time.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but
double check.
Well, I think he won the primaries, but I think actually the Democrats literally stole votes in the way that they accused the Russians of doing to our election. So I think they literally fraudulently took the primaries from him in 2016.
Yeah.
And I think Bernie Sanders knows that, and he has not made a peep about it. Instead, all he's talked about is the Russians. So this is not a person who's going to help us understand how this system we're fighting. He is gaslighting us on a deep level that's in some ways, I would say, it's worse than what Hillary Clinton is doing or Barack Obama is doing, because he's doing it in a
socialist to the extreme.
Yeah, no, because he's doing it with a social. They're not pretending to be socialists. Those people are opponents of socialism. This is a liar who's dressing himself up in a socialist cape, and so what he's doing is he's saying to workers, socialists lie to you. That's what they do, and that actually has been most workers' experience of socialists. They're just a bunch of liars. So why I wouldn't follow the liar, and I certainly wouldn't follow a weak liar. So workers are right to abandon those socialists and go to somebody who seems like they're not going to lie. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
And Lenin did say this and at a time did that. I think later stopped doing it. Was the one thing socialists cannot do is they cannot lie to the working class. If they do so, they do it at the risk of their own cause. And I think that's true. And this is why I often bring mostly bad news to my fellow workers. People think I'm just negative, but it's no. I'm trying to tell the truth about what I think is actually happening. And I'm trying to tell the truth about what I think the cause is that we need to fight for. People will say that, what that is me being all ultra left or just adhering to your principles and pristine pure. The only thing I'm trying to do is tell the truth and tell people really what the stakes are in this fight as I see it. I'm not, and that's it. I just don't want to gussy it up for people and make it look any prettier or any worse than it actually is. And other people want to tell you nice things and hope that they'll follow you. But like, if there are socialists who are supporting Bernie Sanders who don't even believe in his cause, but think because other people are there, they should be there. And what do you say about people like that? They're basically saying, wait, you told me to vote for that guy and you didn't even believe in him? So you were lying to me this whole time? Hmm. So I would be pretty pissed at you if you did that with me. I'd be like, it's like being having a drinking buddy or having a friend who's an alcoholic and you go drinking with him all the time.
If you have a friend who you believe is an alcoholic and you want them to stop drinking, you don't go drinking with them. You don't go out with them to the bar. You tell them, dude, you got to stop drinking and I'm not drinking with you. Like, I want you to go get help. And that's the socialists who don't believe in Bernie Sanders but are telling you to vote for Bernie Sanders are your friend who is afraid to tell you that you're an alcoholic. And instead what they're trying to do is hang out with you at the bar because they want to be friends with you. And that's no friend. That is a person who's enabling you. And what socialists need to be telling workers is you got to get clean and you got to get out of this game. And socialists who are unwilling to do that because they want to be close to you, because they don't want to be lonely, that is not a socialist who's going to be able to make a revolution take place.
And if you think of some socialists that say it's their only hope for now?
Well, then there's no hope in it. If your only hope for now to keep the friendship is to have this person continue to drink, then what you're doing is you're saying, I know you're going to end up dead or in jail, but I want to keep our friendship. That's not a friend. There is no hope in it. There's no future in it. What it is doing is driving our cause into the capitalist party.
You understand that they think of Trump, though, as possibly...
Well, then that's their own confusion, because they're thinking that Trump is different than Sanders, and they're not. They're not. They're capitalists. They're both. They are both in deep. In fact, Bernie Sanders is in support of this whole Russiagate thing. Bernie Sanders is basically accusing Trump of being a Russian agent and saying we should be fighting a war with Russia. Essentially, he must believe that because that's what Russiagate's about. So there's no difference between them. They're two sets of capitalist politicians who want to basically, both of them actually speak to helping workers. One's an obvious liar and one is an obvious liar to me at least. But it seems that other people... And the ones who needed to know that they're an obvious liar are socialists who are fighting for a working class revolution. And the socialists, look, we can see there's tons of confusion around the globe around what socialism is. But those of us who claim that we're fighting for the dictatorship of the proletariat and for working class independence, we can't then simultaneously urge people to go into the Democratic Party and fight for the heart and soul of that party. Or think that urge people to do it with the hope that they'll realize there was nothing to be done there and then they'll break from it. Well, they will break from it, but they're going to break right. They're not going to break to you because you were lying to them the whole time. So, I guess, yeah, that's what I think.
Well, we will cover, I think, this ongoing issue about whether Bernie Sanders or even the Democrats are the hope for the working class, as I think many people are trying to portray it that way.
Yeah.
And even some of the socialists that we have invited have decided so that this is their one chance or their hope for the future.
Yeah.
And I think that does cause this confusion.
Yes, and this debate. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. Andy.
End of this episode?
Yeah, I think we should wrap up. I think that this is we'll be coming out with this video a little late, right? Because I just come back and I want
a lot of things going on.
A lot of things going on for me.
I can't even tell you how much
someone I love very much and someone that I cherish very deeply has been hit by a car and on his bike. So I want to say to people that
and wearing just like a neck brace.
Yeah, people have to be very aware.
Broken bones.
Yeah. So I want people to be very aware of how they drive, and also bikers, how you are, where you are biking when you see vehicles, because it's very dangerous.
We want Eduardo's very special friend to get better.
Thank you.
And get justice.
Hopefully,
yeah.
Yeah.
But get better is more important.
Definitely, yes. And I'm very grateful that we are finally into this new year, and we'll hopefully have more viewers and listeners tune in so that they can hear on different takes on different issues in the coming years, especially in the coming year, especially on this 2020 presidential race that we'll have our
perspective. Oh my gosh, we're going to be hearing a lot of that. Yeah.
All right. Please check us out on any of our 5 platforms on BitChute, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, Podcasts, and YouTube. Subscribe, rate, review, and best of all, share with your family and friends, and we'll catch you all next week. Thank you.
All right. See you later.
Ciao.
All right. So this is a test of our sound. Testing 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And of what the video will look like.
I'm sorry. This is Andy, so I'm lighter because I've been in Europe so much.
It causes people to be white. No. Europe turns people white. That's what happened. That's the story of our people. Human beings. They were black. They went to Europe. They became white. That's the story.
It didn't happen in a short time.
Well, it didn't happen in 2 weeks, but maybe 50,000 years.
Yeah.
Oh, should let's do a sound check.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. But you have to be...
No. We're doing this for now.
Yeah, but I can still do that without this.
What do I have to do here?
You need to put your sound on.
What? Andy, we're doing this fuzzy mic.
Oh.
I'm confused.
That's some crazy shit. That's like fuzzy mic.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, so you see how... So you want that to be a clean line, right? And then this comes in here. That was not good. That's normally something you wouldn't want that. I would have wanted to cut that here.
I see.
So it doesn't come here. This one was a little better on this end, but I think it's just because I didn't put it exactly in the same place. That's why it's...
I see, but you bring these down here, no?
Yeah. Well, this is not good. But, so... You look for that the totally clean end, because this is not the clean end. That's where you open from, and you go,
I see.
And this tells you this is the front of the present. Otherwise, you open the present, you see the back of the present. It's not.
I see.
So it's sort of, those are the cultural cues for people who give gifts and wrap gifts.
I'm glad I recorded it for
you. Did you?
Yes. So I learned.
We're gonna have like 12 hours of bloopers on this one.
Right. Now this concludes
my rapping
the
session.
Episode of rapping
where the atheist explains